So I'm going to give a talk this morning called, what did I call it in the end? Okay. It's called Dreaming Angels, Each Imbued with the Mystery of the Other. It's just a fancy title, really. So legend has it that after the Buddha died, when Ananda was an old man, he passed by a young man, a young monk in the monastery, reciting the words of the Dhammapada. As we know, Ananda was renowned for his memory. And he realized that the young monk was chanting the Dhammapada incorrectly. He was chanting, "It would be better to live a single day and see a marsh fowl than live 100 years and not see a marsh fowl." Now, actually, I don't really know what a marsh fowl is, but anyway. I don't think it's spiritually very important to know what a marsh fowl is, and neither did Ananda. So Ananda corrected the young monk. He said, no, it's not like that. He says, "It would be better to live a single day and see the harsh nature of samsara than to live 100 years and not see the harsh nature of samsara." Now, the young monk got very confused at this point, because his preceptor had taught him about marsh fowls and the importance of marsh fowls. So he went to his preceptor and he said, "Well, which is the proper way? What does that verse actually say and what does it mean?" And the priest said, "Look, Ananda's getting a little old. In fact, he's getting a little old and a little senile and his memory's going. So just go back to the recitation that you know." So the young monk was content with this. He went back to his previous recitation, and Ananda came across him again and said to him, "But don't you know that's not what the Buddha said? I've already told you. Did you not listen to me?" And the young monk said, "Yes, but my teacher said you were old and decrepit and could no longer recall the Dharma." And at this point, Ananda, as he said, looked around. He saw that all the old disciples had gone. There was no one to back him up. And now was the time to enter into Parinirvana. So I wanted to start with a story. Actually, yeah, it's funny. I thought it served to both to kind of bring to mind, illustrate the vanity of youth. I'd believe Ananda, I just wanted to say. But also the vanity of youth, but also the general Buddhist view that Buddhism has declined since the time of the Buddha. And this is what this legend apparently came into being to illustrate, that the Buddhism has declined, suttas are forgotten, the power and magnitude of the Buddha's presence is only imagined. And so it is that the influence of Buddhism has generally decreased, and nowhere more so than in the land of its birth. I had a very strong impression of this on pilgrimage, because I didn't realise that the state Bihar is a corruption of the word Vihara. And everywhere in Uttar Pradesh and Bihar, they're uncovering the remains of great stupas and monasteries. Everywhere. There's just piles of bricks everywhere. And you get this impression that these places used to be great centres for Buddhism, with monasteries and stupas. And I imagine the skyline, just all these stupas crowning out, a bit like in Burma. I haven't been to Burma, but I've seen pictures of all these stupas just coming up on the horizon. And now Bihar is more renowned for its poverty, its corruption, and its bandits. So yes, Buddhism has declined, but as Banti pointed out in his talk, which he gave in 1999, looking ahead a little way, within the general decline, there are upward trends. There are bright beads of hope. There are upsurges in Buddhism, new inspired Buddhist teachers gathering new sanghas. And it's these bright beads that I wanted to focus on this morning, particularly the Tri Ratna Buddhist Order, why it is needed and what it can do. And I have to say, I owe a lot to Subhuti and Subhuti and Banti's new papers, particularly Subhuti's paper, The Dharma Revolution and the New Society and the Buddhist Manifesto. So I'm not going to say anything particularly original, but then I never actually do, because if it's not Subhuti, it's Banti. So here we go. And if it's not Bunty, it's the Buddha.